grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Tonight's service is known as the Tenebrae service, coming from the word tenebrae meaning darkness. It is a service of darkness, for we will darken the church as we hear our Lord's passion, as it is recorded by St. John, the evangelist and the apostle. Seven candles are lit, and these seven candles will gradually be extinguished. The service will conclude in nearly complete darkness. And as the service draws to a close, we will hear of our Lord's death and burial. We will sing one final stanza of O Sacred Head, Now Wounded. A final prayer will be spoken, and then there will be darkness. In the quiet darkness, there will be a time of silence. You may use it to pray. Give thanks to Jesus for what he has done for you and for your salvation. And as you are engaging in your silent prayer, you will hear a sound, the sound of the strepitus. The sound has been described as the scourging of Jesus by the soldiers, or the earthquake at Jesus' death, or the closing of the tomb. Different people give it a different meaning. It will be made by the slamming of books. Then minimal light will be restored so that the congregation may silently leave. It is a rather somber experience, hearing God's word of what Jesus had to endure to take away our sin, to sing of his passion, and to witness things go dark. It seems so final. It appears rather horrible. An innocent man is sentenced to death. He dies by crucifixion. From the surface, it also appears to be ever so opposed to our God of life, the very creator of all life, who is the light. You see, in the beginning, there was darkness. God himself existed from all eternity, but at one point, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Then God created the universe and all that is in it, and the life that we have here on earth. And after creating Adam, God spoke his word of truth to him. And so Adam was illumined in the light of God's word. God continued to illumine his people through the word for many centuries. God even established ceremonies that were based on the full moon, a time in which the night sky is illumined so that there is light all night. Even the Passover celebration was timed according to the first full moon following the vernal equinox, that first day of spring. Light is the life of men. Without light, there is no life, no physical life, and without the light of Christ, there is no spiritual life. What God made was good. Then Satan came along with his darkest lies. He tempted Adam and Eve to go against the light of God's truth. And so they ate of the forbidden fruit. And they, having their eyes opened, knowing that they were naked, filled now with shame, they tried to hide from God. Hiding works best when there's darkness.
That's why crimes often happen under the cover of the darkness of nighttime. Satan is darkness. It was nighttime when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane as his disciples kept falling asleep. There was darkness, and then came the chief priests and the officers of the temple and the elders carrying their torches and their lanterns and their weapons. Judas led this procession out to the garden to betray Jesus with a kiss. And Jesus said to them, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness." Under the cover of darkness, Jesus is brought to the Jewish authorities and to the church leadership, in which he was put on trial. They were seeking his death, for the light of truth that he brought was intolerable to them. St. John reported, "People loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil." Intent on killing Jesus, but forbidden by the government, they brought Jesus to Pontius Pilate so that he could sentence Jesus to death. Pilate, seeing that he was innocent, finding no guilt in him, tried to let him go. But because he could tell that there was a riot about to happen, and they were now declaring that Pilate is not Caesar's friend if he lets him go, Pilate sat down on the judgment seat saying, "Behold your king." The crowd shouted, "Crucify him." And Pilate said, "Shall I crucify your king?" The people replied, "We have no king but Caesar." They even announced, "His blood be on us and on our children." And so Pilate handed Jesus over to them for crucifixion. St. Luke reports that there was darkness over the land from noon until 3 p.m. This was supposed to be the brightest time of the day, and yet the land was covered in darkness. Perhaps those who witnessed this darkness remembered that 9th out of the 10 plagues that God through Moses brought against the Egyptians. When darkness had covered the land of Egypt, clearly this darkness was the hand of God. Yet for those who still follow Jesus, as they witnessed these events, as they saw their Lord nailed to the tree, the pain would have been gut-wrenching. They helplessly watched the Son of God when he was beaten and when he was being crucified. Hardly a greater horror could be imagined. But to be sure, all of this was going according to the plan of God. For after Adam and Eve had sinned, bringing the entire world into sin, and with sin came death, God had promised that through her seed would come the Savior, the one to save the nations, who will defeat the power of the devil. And therefore Jesus, who is God himself, very God of very God, begotten, not made, the second person of the Holy Trinity, he was born so that he could take away the sin of the world. And the Lord, fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah, laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. Jesus did this all for a purpose. He was held guilty in our place. he was held accountable for all the world's sin. God's demands for justice had to be met. Atonement had to be rendered for the world's sin, and only Jesus could do it. And so the Father had forsaken his Son as he bore the world's sin and was held accountable for it. The wrath of God was upon him. And so there, the Lord of life shed his innocent blood on our behalf as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, from the surface, the power of darkness appeared to be prevailing. It looked as if Satan was going to win this battle, because here you have the only begotten Son of God who was dying instead of living. And there was darkness for those 3 hours. And then Jesus did die. The earthquake shook the ground. The temple curtain was torn in two. But darkness ended at 3 o'clock. That means light was returning. Jesus was right. It is finished. He really did take away the sin of the world. His innocent blood was shed as the perfect ransom payment for our sin. He did just as he said. He joined the thief who died alongside with him on the other cross in paradise. The prophecy of Isaiah 9 is true. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. For Jesus Christ is the light of the world, a light which no darkness can overcome. This, of course, is not what Satan wanted. He wanted the power of darkness to prevail. And he wants us to remain in the darkness of death. He wants nothing more than to corrupt Christ's church so that it would remain in the darkness of lies and false doctrine, so that it could, if possible, deceive even the elect. And Satan wants for us, each and every one of us, to remain in the darkness of our sin. But we, as children of God, are not children of the darkness. Instead, we are children of the light which Jesus brings. We have been told of our Savior's bleeding, dying love, and that illumines, it reveals to us the compassion and the mercy, the love of God, and what we now have in Christ, that we are God's children. We have been added to God's family through the waters of holy baptism. We have been declared righteous through the blood of the Lamb. And so what seems so final on that Good Friday, what appeared to be so horrible, an innocent man dying by crucifixion, this was God's plan. Jesus died to take our sin away. Jesus served as our substitute, the Passover lamb. He died so that we will not die eternally. He suffered God's wrath so that we will not face God's wrath. He was forsaken by his Father in heaven so that God will never forsake us. And just as darkness lasted for but 3 hours, so also our Lord's stay in the tomb was but 3 days. Jesus could not be bound by death, death which seems ever so final to us and permanent, did not have the upper hand. Satan lost, sin lost, death lost. Through the crucifixion of Jesus, Satan is defeated. and our sins are washed away. Though our sins are like scarlet, we shall be as white as snow. For Jesus lives, and the victory is ours. As we hear the passion of our Lord, we do not weep as those who have no hope, though we may weep. We do not grieve as if sin or and Satan or death had the final say, though we may certainly grieve over our sin and what Jesus endured. And we do not despair, for we know that this was God's plan for our redemption. We leave our sins at the foot of the cross, and we now claim Christ's very righteousness as our own. For all who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We are his, washed and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And because he lives, so shall we. It is written, God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Have a blessed Good Friday. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.